Well, let's just pray real quick and we'll get started. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this wonderful day. And Lord, I thank you for the season that we're in that is full of joy and peace and rest. I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ to us. I thank you that you are here with us today, Lord, that your presence is in this room and in our hearts. I thank you that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. And so it's not just today and not just this season that you're with us, Lord, but you are with us always. What a wonderful gift that we have in Christ. Pray that you bless your people. Pray that you bless the message, Lord, that you use me as a vessel, and that I'll speak the word that you want me to speak. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I usually recap my sermons from the week before every time, but today I think I just want to share a testimony of God's faithfulness to you and kind of go into my sermon. My sermon today will be on do not worry. And, you know, basically it's because what I've been going through in my life. I've had some testing times here in the last few months. It's funny because I've been sharing so much on Christ and trying to remember the reason for the season and not give away the stress and fear and things like that, because how many of you know that during Christmas, every year, it's like the highest rate of suicide, depression, stress. So I've been trying not to fall into that, but it's funny how God, or Satan, I don't know, tests you during this time. I've been preaching on that, and then I get nailed with it at work. I mentioned it last week that we've been really slow at work. I know everybody knows me in here, but I own a heating and air business, and when the temperatures are mild, you don't get a lot of calls. And by the grace of God, we've been in business for 19 years this year, which is crazy to think. But yeah, I'll applaud that. Been in business for 19 years, and we've had slow times, and we've had great times. But we hit this year, I would say back in September, we just started slowing down for some reason. It just got very, very slow. And we didn't have any work coming in. And we were just kind of making do, just barely making payroll for really a couple of months. And as Christmas gets closer, you know what happens. You need not less money, but more money. And the winter time is always our slow time. It always has been here in Mississippi. And so with the mild temperatures, we just got to a point where we just did not have much at all in our account. I have Misty here, who is my office manager, and Wyatt and Luke and Jack work for me a lot, so they kind of have felt this. Of course, my wife knows all about it, but we just hit some slow times and didn't know what to do. And as we approached Christmas, I'd say about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I was able to give my people some Christmas bonuses, which was wonderful. God provided for us with that. But then as time kept going on after that, we just didn't have anything else. So I was able to get my Christmas presents, and I was able to pay everybody, and I was able to give Christmas bonuses, but my fear is that as the time approached and we were getting within a couple of weeks of Christmas, I was like, man, we're going to get to a place where we're going to take off for a week and I'm not going to have any work when we come back. I mean, we did not have a job on the books. We had nothing. And I was stressing. Really, I was in fear. Straight up fear. I surprised myself, to be honest with you. I have been in these places many, many times in my life. 19 years as a small business owner, you're going to run into struggles like this. And I have actually been here before. I'm not saying that this is the worst it's ever been, but I would say it's the slowest it's been in 10 years probably. So here I was just agonizing over it and thinking, you know, I've got enough to pay everybody for now, but I don't have enough to pay. Like the whole week that I'm going to be off, we're off right now until January the 5th, I'm just going to be not able to relax because we have no work when we come back. And again, here I am preaching about don't worry and, you know, the season, the reason for the season, Jesus. I'm fighting that battle. Have you ever fought that battle where you know what's right, but you are facing these circumstances? Well, that's what I was doing. Well, we got all the way to the Friday before Christmas, and we just had nothing. The whole week of the week before Christmas week, I decided I was going to take control of the situation and I was going to go find some work. And I just literally started driving around new construction sites. I always, Misty will probably tell you this, I always, whenever I get stressed with money, I go to my open books where people have to pay me and I start making phone calls. And it's awful, you know, I'm the pastor that calls like a book collector, you know, I'm trying to get my money. Every year we have thousands of dollars that people don't pay us, you know, so I go down the list and nobody responded. And it came up to that Friday, and then you had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was Christmas. And on Friday, I just kind of threw up my hands. That morning when I woke up, I had been fearing so much, I was literally like sick to my stomach. And I don't know what it was, but I just came before God in a different way. And I just said, I got nothing. I have nothing else to do here. I cannot find any other source of finances. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I just kind of threw up my hands. And like so often, seems like that's when God says, I can go to work now. Thank you. I felt this peace come upon me that morning. I mentioned this last week. But I felt this peace come over me when I did that. And I felt like God said to me, and I want you to hear me. He said, go to the scriptures. Go to the scriptures. You know, it's interesting because I had been reciting scriptures in my head and things like that, but I was too stressed to sit down and read. I don't know what it was. He said, go to the scriptures. And you're going to guess what I went to. Do not worry. Do not worry. Read it a million times. You have too, I'm sure. But this time when I read it, I just felt like he was speaking directly to me, directly to my heart. And peace came over me. And I went to work that morning, and I think I even told Misty that. I said, I just feel like God's going to help us. And I talked to Wyatt and Luke, and not that Luke, but a different Luke that works for me. And I said, guys, you know, there's a real chance I'm not going to be able to pay you while we're off this week. We just don't have any work. And everybody was okay, and Misty was okay. I got great people working for me. They understand where we're at. And anyway, I had one call that day that I had to go to, and he was an old friend. This guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but his son graduated high school with Wyatt, and he lives in this big house, and I've worked on his units many times. They're all in pretty good shape. So he said one of his heaters, he's got like five units on his house. He said one of his heaters wasn't working, and so I went there just thinking, I'm just going to fix a little something small. And I went in there and went into the attic, and his unit was literally all melted. Like it had caught fire and melted everything inside of there, which I rarely have seen through all my years of heating and air. Dangerous. And immediately I was like, well, this is going to have to change, you know. And bad for him, but hey, wonderful for me. And, anyway, I went downstairs and I told him, and he said, oh, it's fine. He was like, just change it. And I was thinking, it must be nice to have money like that. But not upset at all. And I left there and rejoicing. I was like, he said, can you do it before Christmas? We had 2 days now, Monday and Tuesday. We were going to be off Wednesday. And so he said, can you do it before Christmas? I said, yeah, I can do it. I can do it Monday morning. And so, man, that was wonderful, and just this relief came over me. And I was just rejoicing before God. As I drove home, I pulled into my driveway, and as God is my witness, I was sitting there in the driveway thanking God for giving me that and telling him how faithful he was and how amazing he was and that he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills and that nothing is too hard for him, and forgive me for doubting you. And then this guy called me while I'm praying, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to cancel this job. And I answered, and he said, hey, Randy, me and my wife are talking. And he was like, and after seeing those pictures that he showed me of that unit, he was like, man, I'm just worried we're going to, you know, die in our sleep from a fire. And he was like, let's just change the other one too that's sitting right beside it. Can you do that before Christmas? I said, sure. I said, I can't do it before Christmas, but I can do it right after. And anyway, then we started getting other jobs just rolling in on the very last day. People started calling the movie theater saying that they wanted to move forward with other jobs. And anyway, just wanted to say that God is faithful. That's it. I mean, there's not anything special about this more than I can't tell you how many times God has done this for me. How many times that He's helped me. It's only when I was able to relinquish control. I want you to think about that. Every time that I try to say, I'm going to take this into my hands, my own hands, it's like God just, I'm not going to work with you on that. I will not be like your co-pilot here. I'm going to run the show. You're going to trust me. I'm going to teach you to trust me again. I mean, He's taught me so many times. I can quote the scripture off the top of my head. How many of you know there's a difference in knowing the scripture and living the scripture? Living it out. Scripture says knowledge puffs up. It's good to know the scriptures. It's good to memorize scriptures, but there comes a time that you have to actually live these scriptures out. Shame on me that it took me weeks to finally come to that place where I said, it's you or nothing. But how many of you know it was always Him or nothing? It was always Him or nothing. I brought nothing to the table. And anything that I would have gotten during that time is almost ill-gotten. It's weird. It feels like you just manipulate and push it and fight for it, and then you get a penny. And God's like, I can make the river flow here if you want me to. But I can't do it unless you trust me. So I want to encourage us this year. I want to have a year of no fear. I was, hey, that rhymes. A year of no fear. God promises us our daily bread. This is really the end of my sermon, but I'm going to do it at the beginning because I love it so much. Y'all heard me say this, but obviously I need to be reminded, and maybe you do too. But when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, that's what He said. It's unique, isn't it, that He says daily bread. Why wouldn't it be my forever bread or, you know, my whole life, you know, provision? But it's daily. I've been reading the scriptures and studying just since that day when I kind of started really seeking God about all of this. And I saw so many things that were like this in the scripture. I thought about the scripture where Christ says, or David says, that you're a lamp unto my feet. We've talked about this before, that He's not a spotlight shining out. A lamp enables you to really just take one step in front of the other. If you start running with a lamp, you're probably going to run into something. You can't see what's up ahead. But His promise is for each individual step He wants to be with you. It's for daily bread. It's not for monthly bread. One time Lee, years ago, read this. I don't remember what it was, Lee, that you read, but it was this, she got a revelation saying that the reason when the scripture says give us this day our daily bread, the reason why that we stress so much when we start thinking about tomorrow is because He hasn't given us faith for tomorrow. It's only for today. Listen, that's so important. At the end of every day, to be able to sit there and say, today He has given me my daily bread, and I don't need to worry about tomorrow. He has not given me the faith yet for tomorrow. In the do not worry scripture that we're going to read here in just a second, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, because today has enough trouble of its own. But don't worry about tomorrow. We say that and we just think, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But the truth is that that's a command. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about it. You can't worry about it. You weren't built for it. You were not built to worry about tomorrow, and you don't have the faith for the future. I don't think God enables us that. I think generally speaking, we can say God is going to be faithful forever. But His grace is for today, the present. And if we could live our lives in such a way where we could say, at the end of today, He's met all of my needs, and I refuse to worry about tomorrow, I think we'd be all a lot happier and a lot more fulfilled, and we'd be singing His praises a lot more. We worry about things we cannot control that are in the future. In the scriptures, the Israelites, when God rained down manna on them, do you remember what it said? He said, I'm going to provide for you every day, manna. But on the sixth day, He said, I'm going to rain down, you're going to take a double portion because you're not going to have anything on the seventh day. And then, funny enough, they tried, didn't they? And it said that they went out there and got the man on the seventh day, and they said it had worms all over and it rotted. There's something God likes about forcing us to trust Him, to put our hope and faith in Him. And there's something also that He seems to disdain when we try to do something for the future. He's saying, it's either me or you. It's either me or you. Fear is a terrible thing. Do you know that? Fear is a terrible, terrible thing. There's only one acceptable fear, and that is the fear of God. That's it, which is, by the way, the beginning of wisdom. Jesus said, why do you fear man who can only kill the body, when you should fear God who can kill the body and the soul? The Bible says, in holy fear, Noah built the ark. So there is an acceptable fear, and that is of God. And it's, I think, more of like an awe-inspiring fear. Like a fear of your dad when you know he loves you and he's going to spank you anyway. You know, that kind of fear. But fear, gosh, I'm getting so ahead of myself. The spirit of fear is not from God. And I want you to hear that today. Whatever your fear is, if it's fear of financial devastation or destruction, if it's fear of relational, we have them everything. When you have children, you fear everything for them. I mean, you're always worried about them. But fear, when I was afraid just a few weeks ago of this, it gripped me. It stole away all of my joy, all of my hope, all faith was removed from me. Literally everything good was taken away out of fear. And the scripture says in Timothy, it says that He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of, what is it? Self-discipline, love, and power. And sound mind, and sound thinking. So anytime that you have a spirit of fear, you need to recognize it as what it is. This is a spirit of fear. And God does not give me a spirit of fear. This did not come from Him. Worry is just fear. Worry, I wrote down, is the first cousin of fear. Worry is just a branch of it. It's just a mob. Basically, worry is fear of impending doom in the future. In America, I don't know, maybe it's everywhere, but worry is... almost we accept it, don't we? We kind of accept it. We just say, we almost think of it as prudent a little bit, like worry about the future. Christ didn't say you couldn't think about the future. He didn't even say you couldn't plan. He just said you can't worry about it. But I'm not a huge worrier, but man, when it hits me, I get it bad. Let's read the scripture real quick. Let's turn to Matthew 6. I just want to read this. Y'all still with me? All right. We're kind of all over the place. All right, here we go. It says, do not worry. It's up there on the board if anybody wants it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon, and all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, for the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Yeah, that's it. You're right, Cheryl. Says it all. Let's see here. Christ says, do not worry about your life. That's pretty all-encompassing. Your food, what you will eat or what you will drink. I don't know about you, but there's very rarely times where I've ever thought, I'm worried about what I will eat or what I will drink. I thought about this so much when we went to Africa, Mr. Murphy, and reading the scripture. The scripture was read while we were there. And I was sitting around a table with the guys in Africa, and they were, this was not during the class. We were just having lunch together. And for some reason, one of the guys read that scripture, and they said, this scripture really helped me because, what'd they say? I haven't eaten in like 2 days, and we haven't had meat for 6 months. He said, and I was just stunned. I said, you haven't had meat in 6 months? He said, no. He said, we had a leg of lamb that we split between me and my wife and my 10 children 6 months ago for my son's birthday. But they hadn't, he said he had eaten in 2 days. And I just thought, he reads the scripture a lot differently than me. We're so blessed. We are so blessed here. I don't think that, I'll say me, I have never personally been able to get to this place that Christ is talking about when we're talking about food and drink and clothes, which is like sustenance, like life-giving sustenance. He's saying even when you get to that place where you don't have food or drink and you don't have clothes to wear, I don't want you to worry. You see, what I told you about my testimony earlier is that I said, I was able to buy all my kids' Christmas presents. I was able to pay all my guys at work and girls a Christmas bonus. I was able to eat and drink and have a beautiful home. My kids go to a private school and we have everything we could ever want. And I was so gripped with fear about one week of potentially not having something. Not for sure. It put me in the bed. I mean, I was that overwhelmed thinking about this. And then he says, oh, you a little bit. It's like Christ back then. I've never had to worry about food or drink. Never my whole life. Not once. We wonder sometimes why we can't do the things Christ did with miracles and things like that. I just wonder how little my faith is. How little is my faith? If Christ says, even that is not a big deal. How little is my faith when I'm sitting there crying because I potentially could be late on a car payment? But if I lost everything I had, here's what I would say. In my worst thought process and fears, it never enters to a stage where I starve to death. I mean, I really think this is important in dealing with God. I've always been baffled by the thing where Christ says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go into the sea and it'll go. He did that right after he cursed the fig tree and just dried up right there in front of him. And for years I remember saying, well, do I just really not have faith? The size of a mustard seed. And I really feel like Christ told me, no, you don't. You really, really don't. And I don't know how to get there. This isn't the best sermon because I don't have an answer to this. But it is good to know where you're at, kind of, at least for me. Listen, I think I'm so thankful I don't have to worry about food and drink. But it just shows me that there's levels to faith. And when you can get to a place where you're not afraid and you're literally sitting there naked and you haven't eaten it, right? And you're still not afraid, you probably can ask God whatever you want and He'll give it to you. That's good to know when we are struggling with what we think is difficult and we can say, I know that you're still going to provide for me because we haven't got anywhere near these things. And if you'll do it for that, then you'll do it for me where I'm at right now. He clothes the lilies. Solomon, all of his splendor wasn't dressed like a flower. I love that. We can't be afraid. We don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live in fear again. I want to be able to find a way that we can overcome that, or I can overcome this. Let's see. How can we overcome fear? According to this scripture. Well, we can remember how much He loves us. We can remember what He just says. He says, why do you worry about things? He said, He feeds the crows of the air, the birds of the air. He dresses the flowers. And He says, and you're so much more important to Him than that. You're so much more important to Him than that. He said, the birds don't sow or reap. He said, they don't do anything, and I feed them. And He's telling us right here, He says, and I love you so much more. I love you so much more than these things. Remember that. Remember that when you're struggling with fear. Begin to not only quote these scriptures, but begin to live them and believe them. He feeds the birds in the grass of the field. Remember is the other way we can overcome. Remember these scriptures and believe them. The Father knows what you need, He says in that verse. The Father knows what you need. Just like I've been preaching about how He became like us, therefore, He understands us. So the Father knows what we need. Even before you go to Him, He knows what you need. You're not alone. I wasn't alone. I tell you, that is something I felt. Again, for the first time in a long time, I kind of just thought, where are you, Lord? I wasn't alone. I was not alone. He was always with me. If everybody else leaves you, He will not leave you. And He was with me during that whole time. Scripture says to seek His kingdom first. So at the end of this, it says, don't worry about what we shall wear. He says, for the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and righteousness. So this is where I went wrong, I think, in my whole story here, is when I started to feel that fear, I began to try to take control. And I became the king of my own kingdom and said, I'm going to do this with grit. I'm going to white knuckle it, and I'm going to go out there, and these people are going to pay me, and I'm going to get a good job, and I'm going to make it happen. Totally did the opposite of seeking the kingdom first and His righteousness. And His righteousness. If I would have done it right, I think what I would have done was immediately begin to give thanks to God for everything I had. When I first start, I've learned this lesson and I just keep falling into it. But I should have started with just giving thanks to God verbally by myself with the Father. When that spirit of fear came on me, I should have said, this is not the spirit of God. I rebuke the spirit. Get away from me. Get away from me. This is not my Father. And then I should have entered His gates with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you so much for my wonderful wife. For my wonderful children, thank you so much for the gifts, all of the provision, 19 years of owning this business, and before that, you have blessed me and helped me. And I just go down the list out loud, so not only God can hear it, but also Satan. All the heavenly realm, everything can hear it. And begin to say and shout His goodness and His faithfulness. That's what I should have done, seeking the kingdom. Recognize it, give thanks, and then I'll tell you what's helped me so much over the years, and this is hard to do, find somebody to serve. Find somebody to serve. To me, this is seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. So after you've done those things, you go out looking that day for something to give. Because you're so consumed with receiving, it all becomes about you, like Bill has taught us so many times, that circle that just goes inward and the only thing left is you. That's what fear does to you. You just try to survive, and so everything points inward. But what the opposite of that is outward, right? Going to serve, finding a way. I should have gone to work and probably done a job for free or something. That's how, that is the economy of the kingdom of God. He deals in those kind of things. He doesn't deal when you're trying to take it by force. Jesus said, the kings of the earth do that. He said, but we don't do that here. He said, we don't take things by force. We release everything is what we do. And what comes back is all the things that are added unto you. But I should have learned, I should have went and served somebody that morning or that day when I first felt it. You can do that too. And I want to encourage you to do that. Serve somebody. And then just whatever else is in His kingdom. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What a great definition of the kingdom of God. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All of those things of which I did not have when I was afraid. And so it showed that I was not seeking His kingdom. If I would have found His kingdom, I would have had righteousness, peace, and joy. And I had none of those things. So the last one would be just to seek His kingdom. Serve somebody. And then just be looking for His kingdom on earth. We have to, when we're in fear like this, when we're worrying incessantly, you have to almost get out of the world that you're living in. I know that sounds weird and sci-fi and all that, but it's true. You have to stop looking at what's right in front of you. Because that is bad. That is truly bad. But God says, keep your eyes on things above. Always. We always make the mistake of looking for it. It's up that we have to look at. And so we have to look up, yes, and get out of your own little world and begin to try to look up and get beyond it. Because our world is tough. But the kingdom of God is everlasting. He's on your side. He's on our side. Remember that you weren't built to worry about tomorrow. It's not the way that God made you. It's not the way He made me. We were not created to have that on our shoulders. And He's tried to give us so many outs for that. Provided, like we said last week, all things pertaining to life and godliness, He's given us everything we need. We just have to make the decision to not look at what's right in front of us and not worry. We have not been given faith for tomorrow. We've been given faith for today. If you can hear that and it becomes revelatory in your life, it will help you all of your life. When Lee told me that revelation, it had to have been 15 years ago. It has helped me at so many low spots in my life where I say this. I said, man, it looks really bad tomorrow. It looks really bad tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But then you ask yourself this question. Are you fed today? Has He provided today? At the end of the day, when you're laying in the bed, are you okay? Are you well fed? Are you healthy? Are you strong? All of those things. And the answer is, He did feed you today. And you did have drink today. And He did give Himself to you today. And that's it. Like, there's nothing else that you have to worry about. You wake up in the morning and guess what? You do it again for that day. Just that day. You can plan for the future. You can plan for the future, but not if you worry. You have to almost cancel that in your life if you can't do it without worrying. And it's okay just to live today and trust Him tomorrow and trust Him the next day. Faith for today is what His daily bread is what He's given us. Amen? Amen. What a great gift. What a great gift the Scripture is, the Word of God. Again, I've said this so many times, it's probably going to be my mantra all year, is I don't know how anybody lives life without God and without the Word. You know, I don't know what would have pulled me out of that. I guess getting a lot of work, I don't know. But I was pulled out before I got to work. Amen. And I just don't know how people do it without a relationship with God. And again, these things that have been given to us, the wonderful thing is they help us, but then you can give them back. You can give them to somebody else. I'm able to give that to you this morning. And I hope that it helps you. And then I want you to take it and give it to somebody else. Do not worry, We have not been given a spirit of fear. Okay? If you have fear, it's not God. Just remember that. And His promise remains that He will give you daily bread and He will provide for you always. Amen? Amen. Stand up and I'll pray for you. Lord, we thank You so much for Your kindness of giving us Your Son who was the Word wrapped in flesh. We are so thankful that it's always here to encourage us and to give us hope. In times of need, just like the song we sang this morning, Lord, You are my shield and my strength, my portion, and You're always there in my time of need. It's up to us to turn to You and not just flail about like a pagan, Lord, but instead come to You and recognize what's going on, Lord. But I pray that You remove all fear from this body of Christ here, Lord. That we will not be like the world and run after those things, Lord. But we will be strong, full of faith, full of hope, and believing that He has given us daily bread. You are wonderful, Lord, and there is none like unto You. Bless Your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.